Chapter 3. The Tragedy. In the middle of the garden, near the Tree of Life, stood the Tree of Knowledge of Good and Evil. God had designed this tree specifically for them to give evidence of their obedience, faith, and love to Him. The Lord commanded our first parents not to eat from this tree, lest they die. He told them that they could eat freely from all the trees in the garden except one. But if they ate from that tree, they would surely die. When God placed Adam and Eve in the beautiful garden, they had everything that they could desire for their happiness. But in His all-wise plans, God chose to test their loyalty before making them eternally secure. They would have His favor, and He would talk with them, and they with Him. Yet He did not place evil out of their reach. Satan was allowed to tempt them. If they endured the test, they would be in the favor of God and the heavenly angels forever. Satan was amazed at his new condition. His happiness was gone. He looked at the angels who, like him, were once so happy, but who had been expelled from heaven with him. Among them there was conflict, disagreement, and bitter accusations. Before their rebellion, these things had been unknown in heaven. Satan now saw the terrible results of his rebellion. If he could again be like he was when he was pure, true, and loyal, gladly would he have yielded up the claims of his authority. But he was lost. His groundless, willful rebellion had placed him beyond redemption. And this was not all. He had led others to rebellion, and the same lost condition with himself, angels, who had never thought to question the will of heaven or to refuse obedience. This chapter is based on Genesis 2, verse 15 to 17, and Genesis 3. This chapter is based on Genesis 2, verse 15 to 17, and Genesis 3. To the law of God, till He had put it into their minds. Now they were in turmoil from disappointed hopes. Instead of greater good, they were experiencing the sad results of disobeying and disregarding God's law. Satan considers his course. Satan trembled as he viewed his work. Alone, he thought about the past, the present, and his future plans. In his rebellion, he had had no reason for his course, and he had hopelessly ruined not only himself, but the vast array of angels also, who would still have been happy in heaven if he had remained true. The law of God could condemn, but it could not pardon. This great change of position had not increased his love for God or for His wise and just law. When Satan became fully convinced that there was no possibility of his being reinstated in God's favor, he revealed his evil intent with increased hatred and fiery passion. God knew that such determined rebellion would not remain inactive. Satan would invent ways to annoy the heavenly angels and show contempt for his authority. Since he was not allowed within the gates of heaven, he would wait just at the entrance to taunt the angels and to try to argue with them as they went in and out. He would seek to destroy the happiness of Adam and Eve. He would make every effort to stir them to rebellion, knowing that this would cause grief in heaven. The plot against the human family. Satan told his followers about his plans to pull the noble Adam and his companion Eve away from God. If he could in any way trick them into disobedience, God would make some provision for them to be pardoned, and then he and all the fallen angels would be able to lay claim to a share of God's mercy with them. If this failed, they could unite with Adam and Eve, because once they had transgressed the law of God, they would be subjects of God's wrath too, like Satan and his angels. This transgression would place them, too, in a state of rebellion, like Satan and his angels, who could then unite with Adam and Eve, take possession of Eden, and hold it as their home. And if they could gain access to the Tree of Life in the middle of the garden, their strength, they thought, would be equal to that of the holy angels, and even God himself could not expel them. Adam and Eve warned. God assembled the angels to take action to prevent the threatened evil. It was decided in heaven's council that angels would visit Eden and warn Adam that he was in danger from the enemy. The angels gave Adam and Eve the sad history of Satan's rebellion and fall. They then distinctly informed them that the tree of knowledge was placed in the garden as a way for them to pledge their obedience and love to God. The holy angels could only keep their high and happy state on condition of obedience, and their situation was similar. They could obey the law of God and be inexpressibly happy, or disobey and lose their high position and be plunged into hopeless despair. Angels told Adam and Eve that the most exalted angel, next in rank to Christ, refused to obey the law that God had established to govern heavenly beings. This rebellion, they said, had caused war in heaven, which resulted in the rebellious ones being expelled, and every angel who had united with this leader in questioning the authority of the great Jehovah had been driven out of heaven. This fallen angel was now an enemy to everything that God and his Son held dear. They told them that Satan meant to do them harm, and it was necessary for them to be watchful, because they might come in contact with this fallen enemy. He could not harm them, though, while they obeyed God's command, because, if necessary, every angel from heaven would come to their help, rather than allow him to harm them in any way. But if they disobeyed the command of God, then Satan would have power to annoy, perplex, and trouble them from that time on. If they remained firm against the first hints of evil from Satan, they were as secure as the heavenly angels. But if they yielded to the tempter, the same God who did not spare the exalted angels would not spare them. They must suffer the penalty for their transgression, for the law of God was as sacred as himself, and he required wholehearted obedience from all in heaven and on earth. The angels warned Eve not to separate from her husband in her occupations in the garden, because she might come in contact with this fallen enemy. If they were separated from each other, they would be in greater danger than if both were together. Adam and Eve assured the angels that they would never disobey the express command of God. Rather, it was their highest pleasure to do his will. Temptation and fall. Satan took the form of a serpent and entered Eden. He positioned himself in the tree of knowledge and began leisurely eating of the fruit. Unconsciously at first, Eve separated from her husband as she tended the garden. When she became aware of what had happened, she felt that there might be danger, but again she thought that she was safe, even if she did not remain close by the side of her husband. She had wisdom and strength to know if evil came and to meet it. The angels had cautioned her not to do this. Eve found herself gazing at the fruit of the forbidden tree with a mixture of curiosity and admiration. She saw that it was very lovely and reasoned with herself about why God had so strictly prohibited them from eating it. Now was Satan's opportunity. He spoke to her as though he were able to read her thoughts. Has God indeed said, "You shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" With soft and pleasant words, and with a musical voice, he addressed the amazed Eve. She was startled to hear a serpent speak, for she knew that God had not given the power of speech to the serpent. Eve's curiosity was aroused. Instead of quickly leaving the spot, she listened to hear a serpent talk. It did not occur to her mind that this might be that fallen enemy, using the serpent as a medium. It was Satan who spoke, not the serpent. Eve was charmed, flattered, infatuated. If she had met a commanding personage, with a form like the angels and resembling them, she would have been on her guard. That strange voice should have driven her to her husband's side to ask him why someone else should speak to her so freely. But she entered into a controversy with the serpent. She answered his question. We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. The serpent answered, You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Satan wanted them to think that by eating from the forbidden tree, they would receive a new and more noble kind of knowledge than they already had. This has been his special work, with great success, ever since his fall, to lead people to pry into the secrets of the Almighty, and not to be satisfied with what God has revealed, and not to be careful to obey what he has commanded. He wants to lead them to disobey God's commands, and then make them believe that they are entering a wonderful field of knowledge. This is purely supposition, and it is a miserable deception. They fail to understand what God has revealed, and they disregard his explicit commandments and aspire after wisdom independent of God, seeking to understand what he has chosen to withhold from mortals. They are elated with their ideas of progress and charmed with their own empty philosophy, but they grope in midnight darkness when it comes to true knowledge.
It was not God's will that this sinless pair should have any knowledge of evil. He had freely given them the good, but withheld the evil. Eve thought the words of the serpent were wise, and she accepted his broad assertion, "You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." This was making God a liar. Satan boldly implied that God had deceived them to keep them from achieving knowledge that would make them equal with himself. God said, "If you eat, you will surely die." The serpent said, "If you eat, you will not surely die." The tempter assured Eve that as soon as she ate the fruit, she would receive a new and superior knowledge that would make her equal with God. He called her attention to himself. He said that the reason he had gained the power of speech was that he had eaten the fruit of the tree forbidden to them. He hinted that God would not carry out his word. It was merely a threat to intimidate them and keep them from great good. He also told them that they could not die. Hadn't they eaten from the tree of life, which perpetuates immortality? He said that God was deceiving them to keep them from a higher state of being and a more exalted happiness. The tempter plucked the fruit and passed it to Eve. She took it in her hand. "Now," said the tempter, "you were prohibited from even touching it, lest you die." He told her that she would realize no more sense of evil and death in eating than she had in touching or handling the fruit. Eve was emboldened because she had not felt the immediate signs of God's displeasure. She thought the words of the tempter must be all wise and correct. She ate, and she was delighted with the fruit. It seemed delicious to her taste, and she imagined that she felt in herself the wonderful effects of the fruit. Eve becomes a tempter. She then plucked some of the fruit for herself and ate it, imagining that she felt the invigorating power of a new and higher existence from the exhilarating influence of the forbidden fruit. She was in a strange and unnatural excitement as she went to find her husband with her hands filled with the forbidden fruit. She told him the wise things the serpent had said, and she wanted to take him immediately to the tree of knowledge. She told him she had eaten some of its fruit, and instead of feeling any sense of death, she experienced a pleasing, exhilarating influence. As soon as Eve had disobeyed, she became a powerful medium through which Satan could bring about the fall of her husband. Adam understood very well that his companion had disobeyed the only prohibition that God had given them to test their faithfulness and love. Eve reasoned that the serpent said they would not surely die, and his words must be true, for she felt no signs of God's displeasure, but a pleasant influence, as she imagined the angels felt. Adam regretted that Eve had left his side, but now the deed was done. He must be separated from the one whose companionship he had loved so well. How could he let that happen? His love for Eve was strong, and in utter discouragement, he decided to share her fate. He reasoned that Eve was a part of himself, and if she must die, he would die with her, for he could not bear the thought of separation from her. He lacked faith in his merciful and kind Creator. He did not think that God, who had formed him out of the dust of the ground into a living, beautiful being, and had created Eve to be his companion, could fill her place. After all, might not the words of this wise serpent be correct? Eve was standing before him, just as lovely and beautiful, and apparently as innocent as before she had disobeyed. She expressed greater, higher love for him than before her disobedience, claiming that this resulted from her eating the fruit. He saw no signs of death in her. He decided to take his chances. He grabbed the fruit and quickly ate it, and like Eve, he did not feel its ill effects immediately. Man's freedom of choice. God instructed our first parents regarding the tree of knowledge, and they were fully informed about the fall of Satan and the danger of listening to his suggestions. God did not deprive them of the power to eat the forbidden fruit. He left them as free moral agents to believe his word, obey his commandments, and live, or to believe the tempter, disobey, and perish. The sweet love and peace and happy, contented bliss seemed removed from them, and in its place, a lack of something came over them that they had never experienced before. Then, for the first time, they turned their attention to the external. They had not been clothed, but were draped in light as the heavenly angels were. This light that had enshrouded them was now gone. To relieve their sense of lack and the nakedness they felt, they looked for some kind of covering for their bodies. For how could they meet the eye of God and angels unclothed?
Satan was overjoyed with his success. He had now tempted the woman to distrust God, to question his wisdom, and to try to penetrate his all-wise plans. And through her, he had also overthrown Adam, who, because of his love for Eve, disobeyed the command of God and fell with her. The Lord visited Adam and Eve and told them the result of their disobedience. As they heard God's majestic approach, they tried to hide themselves from the gaze of him whom they had delighted to meet while they were in their innocence and holiness. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?" The Lord asked this question, not because he needed information, but for the conviction of the guilty pair. "How did you become ashamed and fearful?" Adam admitted his transgression, not because he repented for his great disobedience, but to blame his sin on God. "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate." God then addressed the woman, "What is this you have done?" Eve answered, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The curse. The Lord then spoke to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life.
As the serpent had been exalted above the beasts of the field, he would be degraded beneath them all, and be detested by people, because he was the medium through which Satan acted. Then to Adam he said, "Because you have heeded the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat of it,' cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground." God cursed the ground because of their sin in eating from the tree of knowledge, and declared, "In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life." He had allotted them the good and withheld the evil. Now he declares that they shall eat of it, that is, they would be acquainted with evil all the days of their life. From that time forward, the human race would be afflicted by Satan's temptations. Adam was assigned a life of perpetual toil and anxiety, instead of the happy, cheerful labor he had enjoyed up to then. They would experience disappointment, grief, and pain, and finally come to dissolution. They were made of the dust of the earth, and unto dust they would return. They were informed that they would have to lose their Eden home. They had yielded to Satan's deception and believed the word of Satan, that God would lie. By their disobedience, they had opened a way for Satan to gain access to them more easily, and it was not safe for them to remain in the Garden of Eden in their state of sin to gain access to the Tree of Life and perpetuate a life of sin. They begged to be allowed to remain, although they admitted that they had lost all right to blissful Eden. They promised that in the future they would give God implicit obedience. They were told that in their fall from innocence to guilt, they gained no strength, but great weakness. They had not kept their integrity while they were in a state of holy, happy innocence, and they would have far less strength to remain true and loyal in a state of conscious guilt. They were filled with the deepest anguish and remorse. They now realized that the penalty of sin was death. Angels were commissioned immediately to guard the way to the Tree of Life. It was Satan's studied plan that Adam and Eve should disobey God, receive his frown, and then eat from the Tree of Life, so that they would perpetuate a life of sin. But holy angels were sent to block their way to the Tree of Life. Around these angels flashed beams of light on every side, which looked like glittering swords.